people getting together and kind of making a plan that not everybody else knows about. Something in common here, they got it going. Well, the Holy Ghost does that after you get saved. Because I didn't know what he was teaching in the family school. I didn't know what the theme was going to be in the song service this morning. But somebody's in cahoots. And I think it's the Lord. Amen. I find it remarkable that Brother Jason, for 30 years, took Brother Jay's place when he wasn't here. And today, Brother Jay taking his son-in-law Jason's place when he's not here. I thank the Lord for that. Sunday night service next week, 5:30. If you want to join us for that, that will be a blessing. I'll be heading out to Austin, Texas, to the missions conference there. Join up with my wife and children and grandchildren. So you pray that God would say to me what he wants to say. John chapter 10, as we continue our study. John chapter 10, we'll begin in verse 1. Jesus speaking, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth, I want you to notice that, up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. For he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out." So you're coming in, you're going out. "And when he putteth forth," it's going out, "his own sheep, he goeth before them." He's not going to cast you out there on your own. "And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him." You know, I always have a hard time with believers, say they're believers, but they're following a strange voice. They're following the voice of the world. They're following the voice of the devil. They're following the voice of the flesh. Not so with his sheep. "And a stranger," verse 5, "will they not follow, but will flee from him." You're not following strangers, are you? "For they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door, by me. If any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I'm come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd," Jesus speaking. "The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." Let's pray together one more time. Father, thank you again for the Lord Jesus. Pray you'd bless your word just like you bless the songs. You bless the specials. You bless those little kids singing in the family school. Lord, we're just filled to the full. And I pray you'd help your people now. Help me to just deliver from your Holy Ghost what you'd have. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray if there's someone here doesn't know you as personal Savior, maybe backslid, maybe not right, maybe one foot in, one foot out. Lord, maybe just faking it, Lord. I just pray today you get a hold of them, God, and do a great work in our midst. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. He said in verse 8 there, "All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them." And we've mentioned that the last couple of weeks. Not only is salvation any other way but through the door of Jesus Christ likened to robbery and thievery, but in effect, robbery and thievery is exactly what man-made religion delivers to the recipients, religion that is not true to the Word of God. And the main thing that it robs those recipients, I'm talking about man-made, go-through-the-motions religion that doesn't follow the Scriptures, it robs the recipients of the truth of the assurance and the simplicity in the saving blood of Jesus Christ. Found how? By going through that door. Notice what it said in verse 1. "But verily I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but What's it say? I'm going to rewind the tape. You're not with me this morning. Either that or I'm passing a kidney stone already. So let's try that. All right, let's look at verse 1. Look back at verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but... Ah, that's my church. That's my... Climeth. That's religion. Climeth. Do this. Don't do that. Pray. Fast. Attend. Fill out your little envelopes. Surely with all that, I can have assurance with all that climbing. I mean, even a mountain climber realizes when he gets to the pinnacle, not with man-made religion, you don't have assurance of nothing. After all that climbing, what can you know for sure? Am I forgiven? I've done all this climbing. Am I saved? Am I going to heaven? Remember that lady downtown that time, Brother Jay? We used to knock on the door down there. I'm talking about the ghetto. And they say, the church peoples are here. Church peoples are here. And this lady stuck her head out the screen. And she saw us with our Bibles. She said, I'm saved, sanctified, separated, and speaking in an unknown tongue. To which I responded, you know where you're going when you die? And she said, heaven, I hope. You know what that is? That's religion that robs you of the assurance that you get when you go through the door. Look at verse 9. Talk about assurance. I am the door, by me, Jesus speaking. Not the Baptist, Catholic, Mormon, Presbyterian, whatever you want to say. By me, if any man enter in, he, say the next word, three words, shall be saved. Not might be. Not could be, not should be. I like when you go through the door, the words shall be. We live in a day when nothing is for certain anymore. Go out in them streets and give the gospel and, you know, there's no absolute truth. And I'll say, are you absolutely sure about that? Nothing's for certain. I mean, it used to be, life was kind of boring. I mean, you just... got married, had kids. If you lived in Rochester, you got employed by one of these big companies. You had employment for life. You had benefits for life. You had vacations and paid holidays for life. You had life insurance and pensions in addition to all the governmental promises. I mean, life was one just big shall be. Now, forget about it. I mean, antibiotics hardly even work anymore. I was 26 years old, man, trying to find my way through life and all these promises, empty promises. Get this and you'll be happy. Get this and you'll have joy. Get this and you'll have purpose. And in May 17, 1986, I stumbled upon a shall be saved. I'm not over it yet. And once I said yes to his proposal, it was an unconditional shall be saved. Now, you either believe that or you don't. He didn't say shall be saved unless. We see it all the time downtown. Are you saved? I used to be. If his house is burning and I get him out and you look and now he's standing out in the driveway and things burn. Are you saved? I used to be. What do you mean used to be? I am be. Shall be saved. Let's play a little game with our disciples this morning. Fill in the blanks. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou beautiful. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. That Philippian jailer in Acts chapter 16, he was in a mess, man. He said, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and now you're doing good, class. When you go through the door of Jesus Christ, there's no uncertainty about it. You are complete in Him. And thank God it's not dependent on what we do, but on what He's done, or I would have lost it 15 times this past week. Blaming everybody. Every day that scale says, you blamer. Nobody's here. I mean, Cola make 2 dozen cookies. She takes a half one and goes upstairs. And they're calling me. Thank God it's not our present state that determines our certainty. It's our eternal standing in Jesus Christ. You come in and go by me, you shall be saved. And I like what it says there. I never thought of it this way. In verse 10, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. I'm come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. And there's a lot of things that come along with salvation. I'm gonna get that. But if you stripped everything away, in this world we're living in, man, peace and prosperity, things aren't good. I don't know what you might think, but if you stripped everything away and just gave me the certainty that thou shall be saved, that's abundant life enough for me. Right? In fact, it's going to come to that someday. Someday you're going to be on that deathbed. Nobody can go through that with you except for Him. And you know what it's going to be? It's just going to be you and Him. And you know what you can say? I'm saved. I'm saved. In a world that's upside down. But that's not all He gives when we go through the door. It's just the beginning. And this is what I'm preaching on today. 9. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out. And here's the cahoots for today's song service and family school. And find what? Pasture. Go in. You ever hear him say, man, He comes and goes as He pleases. Amen. Getting into the fold doesn't stop there. It starts there. He comes and He goes. He brings them in and He leads them out. Well, I'm in a fold now. That's it. No, that's the beginning of it. Now I have a shepherd. What is the shepherd like? I learned that the shepherd has a rod and a staff and they comfort me. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things unto your remembrance whatsoever He said unto you. Go to Psalm 23. I know it's an old, well-known, and we sleep through Psalm 23. But let's just sit in the tub of God and soak a little bit with this wonderful Psalm 23, because that's what we've been singing about this morning. A Psalm of David, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. And that's the question. Is He your shepherd? Yeah, Jesus Christ is a shepherd. Is He your shepherd? He's my shepherd. Because not until He was my shepherd could I be led. And there was no pasture. I looked for it. Every time I got there, it was like a mirage. You ever see the mirage, the Three Stooges, when they jump into the mirage and it's just sand? That's what life will give you, man. I shall not want. The Lord's my shepherd. I shall not want. I got Him. I like S.M. Lockridge. He talked about a little girl quoting. They told her to quote Psalm 23 and she misquoted it. And he said, the Lord is my shepherd and that's all I want. He said, they say she's wrong. I say she's right. Woo! He maketh me to lie down. There it is, friends. In green pastures. That's what I found when I got saved. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Remember, he was singing about that lady wrote that hymn, looking at those waters, man. He restoreth peace like a river attends my way. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His namesake. Who does? The shepherd. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and you're going to someday, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. In the valley of the shadow of death, your cup's running over? Oh, we're going to talk about that next time I'm here. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I wonder, are you in the fold? Or are you trying to find peace and purpose climbing some other way? You're not going to get it. You're going to get to the pinnacle of that mountain and you're just going to see another one? And if you're in the fold. I wonder, are you coming and going and being led? Have you found pasture? Have you gotten in on all He's got to give? You know what this world is looking for? They're looking for some pasture. They're looking to find some kind of purpose and peace in this life that amounts to a zoo. I heard one preacher say, I don't pastor a church, I pastor a zoo. That's nice. Just some serenity and civility, some kind of rest for my soul. That's why they go into debt so deep. I'm willing to take this risk of debt. Surely this possession will bring me pasture. How many own a house? I'll stop right there. You know what they find on the... You know about pastures, right? You know what they find on the ground in pastures, don't you? Yeah, that home's a pasture, all right. And there's a lot of landmines you got to get around. This person will bring me pasture, this void, this emptiness, this incompleteness. Then if that's the case, why do Hollywood stars go through spouses the way we go through Krispy Kreme donuts in my case? I thought for sure this fourth soulmate would get... That's what you go to the altar. You go to the altar, you're not going for them, you're going for you. I found what I'm looking for. Don't let me burst your bubble, Cupid. There's only one soulmate. His name is the shepherd. Now, you may have found a body mate. I found me one. But don't expect them to give you what the shepherd gives. See, you're wanting them to fix your issues. Because they're going to bring you joy and happiness. Because I'm lonely and depressed without them. And you know what you're going to find out? They got issues too. This is premarital counseling. Any of you out there, do you premarital counsel? Yep, every Sunday morning, 8 to 10. If I can land this education and job. Money, prestige. Now listen, if you're here and you're a doctor, no offense. But when I was 11 years old, Dan, my father took me to my first Bills game, New York Jets. The clouds were below us, put it that way. And I remember it like it was yesterday. Dr. Jones, please call your office immediately. Dr. Jones, call your office immediately. And my little 11-year-old self thought, that poor sap's going to miss the game, man. He got to go to work. I don't want to be no doctor, Dan. Listen, go to the emergency department on a Friday or Saturday night down at URMC and you tell me that's pasture. You better have a bulletproof vest. Maybe if I become an influencer. I got 8 million. They got 10 million. Ha ha. That stuff don't reach the soul. Listen, there's two problems with trying to find what only God could give. The first problem is that the soul cannot find pasture and rest and peace in the things, physical things of this world. It wasn't designed to. Well, we have a mental health crisis. Understood. Agree. But we also have a spiritual crisis. Listen, the soul is spiritual. It can only be helped with, guess what? God is a spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. That's why you can't find it in a new spouse or find it in a new job or find it in a new car or find it in a new church or find it in a new gig, something, man. It's spiritual. Take my yoke upon... Listen to this. Listen to this profound. Take my... Forget it. Take my yoke upon you, oxymoron, and learn of me. Wait. And ye shall find... Wait a minute. You know what a yoke is? That's what you carry. Okay, God is a big old oxymoron. You're going to put something on me and that's going to give me rest? That's what he said. You're not going to get it. Now, don't miss this. The pasture that happens in the soul through Jesus Christ certainly manifests itself in the body. We sang about it this morning. Horatio Spafford, his wife died. And what did he write? It is well what with my soul when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me say, it is well with my soul. But we're still singing about a song he wrote in the flesh. Amen. You see it in people that know the shepherd. You see that pasture. You hear them girls singing today. Man, go through the trial. What would I know if I didn't go through trials, Lord? Remember Carol Garrett? She got that news she was going to die, man. How long was it, Vicky? 6 months, a year maybe? Not even. You know what she had? You get around her. Pasture. You go visit her at her bed. You're thinking, you need to get up here. I need to get in that bed, lady. Mrs. Shine? She going to let it shine. Hey, Brother Jay went to visit her. She wasn't quite 100. He says, you want me to pray that you make it till 100? She said, I'll choke you. You know what that is? It's a pasture that has an appeal. And it has appeal for this lost world, even though they may be able to pay the price or want to pay the price or make the decision for Jesus Christ. But it makes an appeal to those that don't have it. Which brings us to our next point. Most Christians aren't living a life that by observation would describe a pasture. We're as messed up as the rest of them. We're whining and crying just like the rest of them. Would your Christian life be described as, man, a pasture? I'll tell you what it was for me. I'll tell him he's right here. I said, this cat's got something. I just say no problems. But when the problems come in our homes and the problems come in our churches, when we get around people and they have an opportunity to see us from a distance or see us close up or tap into our personal life and observe our relationships, our families, our marriages, our fellowship, I wonder, do they find pasture? For the lost to get around the saved ought to be about, man, I feel kind of safe in here. Why? Because you're around those that walk and are led by the shepherd. And I don't just mean different clothes or music or educational methods. They ought to feel like they stumbled across a pasture in your very presence. You ever see them on the hillsides? I did in Northern California and Romania. You'd be driving down that busy interstate and all of a sudden on a green, rich, green grassed hillside is the sheep, man. Just dotted out there, gorgeous, green, grazing. And it's like you're on this highway and you're looking over there saying, is that a painting? Is that a picture? Don't they realize what's going on in my nerves in this traffic? They look like they're frozen in time. In Romania, they just leave the sheepdog out there. That dog just sitting, them sheep don't have worry in the world. Why? They're in the pasture being guarded. I wonder what they think when they get around us. I think God's intention, every once in a while, the lost would come across the pasture. And that's what Jesus likened you and I to. You get in, you come in, you go out, you're saved, you find pasture. Not just heaven, but here and now. I was going to talk about four pastures. I'm only going to talk about two pastures. Now, how am I going to get through those? And then I'll give you the two next time. Two pastures today for a confused world that I think we can offer hope if we go by the owner's manual. Number one, the pasture of a strong Christian marriage. Now, I'm going to start this right off the bat. I'm going to tell you what I was going to say at the end now. Pastor, you don't understand. Ours is frying pans and bitterness and I'll get to you in point four in a while. We'll help you. But I'll tell you what this world needs. A pasture of a strong Christian marriage that's doing it God's way. You know why? There's something appealing about it. People lost and saved want it. We were designed to want it. On their wedding day, they think, this is just going to be one big pasture. And soon they find out, ooh, I got to work at this pasture. Our marriages are under attack. Amen? Because there's a devil. And the family and the church is his final frontier of fight. To distort and destroy everything God intended to reflect to this world that doesn't know up from down. He's got the media. You can't deny it. He's got the universities. You can't deny it. He's got the schools. You can't deny it. He's got the government. Gone! You're going to try to find peace and truth in those places? Good luck. You'll see it on the evening news. Oh, this is a place, our school is a place where the children, everyone should feel safe. Not no more. The last standing picture of Christ and His church is the husband and wife. And if we lose the world's compass for truth and light and the door to the pasture, who will shed that light? Who will direct it? I said it at Lydia's wedding, and you can deny the Word of God all day long. I'm an American. You got your right to free speech. Believe whatever you want. Men with men is okay, and women with women is okay, and a boy born a girl is. I wonder who they want to marry. You ever think about that? You say you mad? I'm sad. You can debate all day about all that stuff. There's one thing you can't debate about. God's way sure is simple. You didn't have to mutilate yourself if you did it God's way. You didn't have to break hearts and hurt doing it God's way. Oh, we're still sinners. There's still problems. But I'm telling you, when you look back, and I know it's TV, but June and Ward Cleaver, and Andy and Aunt B, I think they ruined it when they went to color. Doesn't it seem when you watch that, life was black and white. And then all of a sudden they'll transfer it to color and they go, ooh, this isn't Andy Griffith. You know why we like some of that stuff? It's like standing watching a pasture. Proverbs 31, Titus 2. Don't get offended. Just go watch the news and go to school. You'll get all the other side that you want. Dad's working the fields and mom's working the home. Just kind of simple. Kind of like a pasture. Well, that's outdated and puritanical and exclusive. So are pastures. So is God. Pastures are few and far between. You know what we need? we need Christian marriages. I'm getting out of the parenting business. You had 9 children? Yep. And you know what's dawning on me? And now you've got 22 or whatever we got, grandchildren? You know what those little kids need? A light. When they listen, old folks, when they see grandma and grandpa or poppy or nanny or auntie or uncle, you know what they need to see in you, those little kids? They need to see a pasture, because they're not going to get it on Instagram. And if the wolf can mess that thing up, he will distort the picture of Christ in the church in our own homes. There's got to be peace like a river. Let me help you with just a little thought. This is extra for marriage. If you have conflict, you were attracted, opposites attract, and now those things get on your nerves, right? If you can just take your eyes off of one another for a minute and see a common enemy, it'll help you. Before I got saved, young and crazy, we came out of a bar, and this guy was beating on his girlfriend. I mean, beating her down. And my friend Al, he was a strapper. He pulled this guy up and started wailing on him. What do you think that girl did? She done attacked Al. Wait a minute. You're fighting with him. I'm trying to help you. Why are you fighting with me? We got a common enemy now. You know, the devil wants to destroy your marriage. You know what this world needs? You know what our kids need? You know what our grandkids need? A compass to look back and say, man, that marriage is like a pasture. When's the last time you asked God outside of your wedding day to manifest Christ in the church in your marriage? Especially if you're going on 40 years like we are. Seem like I've been at the doctor a lot last year. And I fill out those forms, you know. Married? Happily. I always get the same reaction, because I always tell them, I said, I married my high school sweetheart. Yeah, we got 9 kids and we met when we were 13 years old, and if it's girls, guys could care less. If it's girls, they always say the same thing. Oh, that's so nice. You'll never hear a guy say, no, oh, that's nice. It's only girls. If you hear a girl say, that's nice. You know what they're seeing in their mind's eye? And if they stopped by the house, they wouldn't see it quite as clear as the way I explain it. A pasture. That's what people want. God, get in our marriages. Keep the fire burning. So that folks may look and say, well, I'm not sure about this Jesus stuff. But you sure got something we ain't got. Pasture of a strong Christian marriage. Number 2, and lastly, Isaiah chapter 3. Well, I'm on my second marriage. I'm on my third. I didn't ask you what marriage you're on. I'm asking you, is it a pasture? Isaiah chapter 3, verse 4. And I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them. And the people shall be oppressed. If this isn't our world, I don't know what is. Everyone by another, and everyone by his neighbor. The child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient, and the base against the honorable. Look at verse 9. The show of their countenance does witness against them. They declare their sin as Sodom and hide it not. I wonder, was Isaiah in our streets 2,700 years ago writing this? I think they call it pride. They hide it not. Woe unto their soul, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves. Say ye to the righteous that it shall be well with them, for they shall eat the fruit of their own doings. Woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill with them, for the reward of his hand shall be given him. As for my people, watch it, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. You know what this world is longing for? The pasture of godly young people. Two days ago, in our city, Jordan Torres, 16, and Eric Thomas, 15, charged in the murder of Shinar Davey, 32. 15! June 9th, three Rochester teenagers who were shot Wednesday night were riding in what police suspect was a stolen car that struck a van on Frost Avenue. And after an argument with the other driver, several shots were fired, striking a 13-year-old girl and two boys, 14 and 17 years old. Police Chief David Smith said, and the mayor said, the incident is another example of how the juvenile justice system is failing Rochester's children, spreading them through what he called the revolving door of inaction that creates offenders. How about the revolving door of sin? How about the revolving door of premarital babies? How about the revolving door of no church, no God, no Bible, no father? Man, them churches in our cities used to be a pasture. I don't know where this happened, but somewhere in our country, this week, you imagine? They wouldn't have made it in our school, Mary. 500 frightened students absent from school after attacked by masked intruders. Six masked intruders ran down the hall randomly hitting students in the assault, school officials said. So next day said, we're not going back to school. I don't blame them. Yeah, I know. Our cities are getting bad. Listen, it's more than our cities. Gates, New York. You know who grew up there? I call it the Holy Land. When I go through the gates of Gates, I take my hat off. A teen. Something about oppressors. Something about the young one standing up against the ancient. A teen is now charged with a murder in connection to a fatal armed carjacking attempt earlier this month in Gates. Edgar Tolentino, 16, was arrested and charged with second-degree murder Thursday in connection to the death of 71 Richard Schiazza of Irondequoit. Schiazza died from gunshot wounds on a street in Gates. Greece, New York, two teenagers were arrested Friday in connection to a carjacking that took place at Wednesday night outside of Marshall's at the Greece Ridge Mall. Officer of the Greece Police Department said two allegedly knocked a 72-year-old woman. I read about that somewhere. That's the suburbs. Virginia Tech is in the suburbs. Massacres, 32 dead, perpetrator, 23 years old. Sandy Hook Elementary in the suburbs, 27 dead, perpetrator, 20 years old. Robb Elementary in Uvalde, Texas, perpetrator, 18 years old. University of Texas, Austin, perpetrator, 25. Parkland High School, 19. Columbine, 18 and 17. Santa Fe High School Massacre, 17 years old. I could go on all day. Young people, it's more than about you. You can be a compass. You can be a pasture for a world that has lost their way and looks back and says, well, if we did want it right, that's where the pasture is. Is there any hope? Yeah, right in this room. Don't stand, I talked about it last week, halfway in the door. Certainly don't take your cues from the world. Why? Why would you take your cues from that mess? They don't know what's up or down. Follow Jesus. Why? He'll lead you in green pastures. And someone might come along like I did and say, I'm liking the looks of that. Get a hold of that shepherd. I don't care if you're second gen. Well, we didn't come out of the world. Praise the Lord! All you've known is pasture. And you're looking out there to the wolf and to the world and saying, well, I just want to be like them. Don't do it! This world's looking for pasture in a selfish, self-centered, self-serving, self-loving generation without hope and without God. We'll end with Luke chapter 2. Oh, we need some pasture, man. One of my kids, we were talking about their world. And listen, I don't think you're unspiritual if you don't want to go to heaven tomorrow, okay? You young people ain't been married, don't have kids, whatever it is, just got married, you're young, and oh, you're just a heathen if you're not praying for the rapture. I don't believe that. You will after a while, though. They were showing these militants, I don't know if it was China or Iran, and I said, look at them. You better hope we have the technological advantage. Because what are those men going to do to what we are producing? And one of my married kids said, Dad, where would we go? There is nowhere to go. You're going to have to find pasture in the midst of this mess. Luke chapter 2, and we'll finish up, verse 42. Look at this young people. When he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem. You're familiar. So familiar that it won't have an impact on you. Verse 43, when they had fulfilled the days, they returned, and the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. Yet they supposed it used to be, oh, let your kids go off in them days. Don't let them off today, man. You better get a camera and put a thing over your driveway because they're going to take your kids. We do not want to go through that. But they, supposing to have been the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. It came to pass after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. When they saw him, they were amazed. His mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou dealt with us? Why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said to them, how is it that ye sought me? Wished ye not that I must be about my father's business? Parents, don't you wish that was the only problem you had with your kids? That's usually not the issues we have with our kids. What's going on? Well, I was just seeking God. Well, I don't see you're going a little bit too far. And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And when he come down to them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. Watch this now, young people. Watch this, young people. There's a hungry world out there. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature. Watch this. 12 years old and in favor with God and man. Let's stand. I don't know how long it's been since you prayed. When you get my age, it's just... I don't know how to say it. It's like you're married. I mean, it's the way it is. God's got a plan, whether it's 4 months, 4 years, or 40 years. This world needs a pastor. Lord, help me. Lord, help my children. If they won't come and pray for themselves, pray for them. God, make my marriage a green pasture for my children, for my grandchildren, for this world that I come in. Oh, they think, you know, Uncle Joe, he's a little crazy, but they sure do have a good marriage. What number, Brother Jay? 591. Come and sing. Come and sing. God, use me. Listen, young people, you don't even have to open your mouth. Just be a pasture.